Oh, guys, I feel really, really bad about this week's podcast. I mean, like, I could not get past the prologue on this game that we picked. It is.
Oh,
it's impossible. I don't even understand what it's asking me to do. Like, I restarted it a couple times. Like, I looked up guides online, and I just don't understand the language. I feel like I am missing something major here. Did you guys figure this stuff out?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's an adjustment because you have to, like, it's got that little solar sensor, so you have to actually, like, go out into the sun in order to,
yeah, so
you know,
I've been going outside. Is there, like, a place in the sky that the sun is? Because I've been outside pointing it at stuff. It doesn't seem to sense anything. Like, which, do you know, like, what part of the sky? Because, like,
it's usually just... It's right up there during the day, right? So,
I'd say you can't miss it.
I'm sorry, the what?
The first part of the day, you play a game like Breath of the Wild.
Right.
And it's got a day-night cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's the part where...
What an insane... I mean, like, when I think about the creativity of video games, I'm like, who comes up with this stuff? That is nuts.
No. No. Yeah, no.
No, that's a reflection of our reality.
Yeah, the sun it's what? The biggest star in the galaxy near us.
Okay.
And it provides us with energy and light and heat. Hmm. And it's there from
Are
what
you
hours,
talking
Nick?
About fire? Like when I set something on fire? Like is that
Start fire.
You're sort of close, but
let me ask you this. What color do you think the sky is?
Black.
No, no.
Okay. And you've never seen it be like a more of a blue hue?
I mean, no, unless there's like a police helicopter up there, kind of makes it like shiny like a little blue light on you or whatever.
Yeah, no, we didn't mean that. That's not what we meant.
We didn't mean it like that.
But no, the sky is black. The moon is white, or sometimes it's hiding. And then,
okay, so you know the moon.
And then there, which, if you guys, because Matt said that the sun is a star, and I know what stars are. I'm not stupid. Uh-huh. Which one is it?
There's a star so close to us that it takes just 8 minutes for its light to reach our atmosphere.
All right.
So that's, you know, the million light years you're looking at existed millions of years in the past because they're so far away from us. They're so remote. Heather, I'm just gonna say, are you a damn Dracula?
You got me. I'm a Dracula.
We got her.
We fight ghouls and glare alike in 2003 solar-powered action game Buktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand, as Kojember continues on How Did This Get Played?
It's How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest, and why does Nick refuse to say Heather and Matt are cool anymore as to video games of all time?
Whoa.
That third W is by @real_jackvt. Submit yours at getplayedpod, #www. I'm Nick Sniper Wolf.
What? Oh, is that the whole thing? No, like, hey, and here's my co-host?
I'm Nick Sniper Wolf.
Well, I guess I'll just...
He didn't take the note.
Yeah, I'll just go. I'm Hartman Ann Campbell, along with my third host,
Big Matt.
Okay, Jesus. Can we just do the whole fucking thing again? People have shut. If they're listening in their car,
I'm
they're
Big
dead.
Matt.
Yeah. Nick Sniper Wolf.
If they aren't listening in their car, they're sitting on a curb with their head in their hands. Mm-hmm. Somebody's walked up to them and they're like, are you okay? And they're like, it's Get Played. They've been doing this for 126 episodes. They still don't know what the fuck they're doing.
They somehow do an astronomical amount of work for the show and also phone it in.
It's like if true. Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time was just like ridden with typos, just like,
and then or like the end of chapters was like in some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking universe is big.
It's true. For this week's game, I had to solder. I mean, that's a big ask.
That's true. To
solder a new battery into a cart, and then also invest in some Amazon tech. We'll get into that.
Did we say our catchphrases after our dumb
no,
names?
No, it was just fucking chaos.
Okay, let's do that. Matt.
Just dead silence.
Nick Sniper Wolf.
I'm Big Matt. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back, Bucket.
Snake. Snake. Snake! I'm doing that instead of Edge.
All right.
I think we got it.
So instead of, you don't normally say Edge.
Yes.
From Catherine, but I said, I did like the Metal Gear thing.
That's good.
Hey, we are continuing Hideo Kojember, a month dedicated to Kojima games. And we're continuing on with an interesting one. I'd say one of the more obscure games that he is associated with. But before we get into that, before we descend into our particular gaming hell, it is first time to briefly touch on a game we're enjoying, or something gaming related, that is currently tickling our fancies, by spending 70 seconds in gaming heaven. Matt, tell us when!
Go for it, Heather.
All right, there's been a lot of talk about the metaverse in the last couple of weeks because Facebook has changed their name to Meta. The metaverse being a virtual space that exists in the internet, taken from, I think the name's taken from Snow Crash, one of my very favorite books. The metaverse already exists. It's not a thing that's going to come out. It already is. And the game that's doing the metaverse is VR chat. I've been doing some VR chatting. I'm uncomfortable in social situations, even when I'm talking to like a giant mummy fox. But I put my mic on mute and I go into the corner and it's just like being in the real world, except people are now dumping video game environments from games you know and love into the metaverse, into VR chat, into the existing framework. So you can walk around. The first one I did was Final Fantasy Online, Final Fantasy XI, mm-hmm. where I walked around like all these PS2 environments that I hadn't seen for more than a decade. But you can also like jump into Gravity Rush. There's a Mirror's Edge style VR chat world. And somebody also put Midgar.
Wow, Midgar.
You can fucking walk around in Midgar. That's the metaverse. That's the whole thing. I'm Shinji Ikari from Evangelion walking around in Midgar, talking to other people, avoiding talking to other people.
Someone should do like a platformer level in there, and then you can try to do it in VR chat.
There is a platformer VR game that's called like Dungeon Quest or Adventure Quest, some kind. Mm-hmm. It's basically Tomb Raider, but you're like hopping around in very, very small spaces. And the map is designed so that you're constantly backtracking. So it really feels like you're doing, like the platform will move and then you have to face the other way and jump the other way, etc.
Yeah.
I haven't played that one because it looks like it's not for me.
Sure.
I would rather be Godzilla in VR chat.
Sure.
I'd rather be Godzilla in like a Paris apartment.
Eating like a baguette, just having a nice Parisian day.
Yeah.
Leave Godzilla be. It's not bothering anyone.
Yeah.
I like that, that Zuckerberg insisted on, like, he was like, I'm going to drive this video. I want to be the guy in the meta video. Like, let me be.
Yeah.
Let me just kind of be the star of this thing.
Like a human being who couldn't possibly pass the Turing test. Like, yeah, put me in front of the camera.
He is like a cybernetic creature that is inhabiting, like, his metaverse is Earth. Like, it's like he is living through the simulation of being a member of the human race. But it's like if M. Night Shyamalan cast himself as, like, the lead of one of his movies. It's like just do a little cameo. Like, you don't need to do all this heavy lifting.
Nick, as a robot, are you jealous of the new models?
I mean, look, here's what I'll say to that. I'm Nick Sniper Wolf.
Is that even a joke? Like, aren't those just words? Are they just words?
What is a joke but words?
Yeah, what is a joke but words persevering? Yeah.
Well, hey, going from staying indoors and simulating being outdoors, this week's game requires you to go physically outdoors. And I thought we could, before we get into it, because I don't think this is a game a lot of people have played and maybe don't even know about. But I thought before we got into that, we could first just kind of talk about outdoor gaming as a thing, because it kind of like, you know, it wasn't really ever a possibility until handheld gaming came about with the Game Boy and everything else that followed it.
Don't forget about the stick and hoop.
Well, yeah, you had your stick and hoop. You had jacks. You know, you had your cup and ball. But that's kind of a different category than
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway, so you could have that handheld's completely changed things, because it used to be like, hey, you had to be and you're tethered to your TV or you're in an arcade and to play video games or your computer. Now you can go outside. And then now with a Switch, I feel like you can fucking play any game anywhere, basically. I'm just curious, like, do the two of you ever indulge in outdoor gaming? And if you do, does that affect what games you're playing?
Well, the game that this game evoked the most for me was Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a point during the game where I was like, I'm physically going out on a hunt for sunlight. That is what the core gameplay mechanic is. And it reminded me of Pokemon Go, like being like, okay, I think there's something over here that I can use. There was a game that was a precursor to Pokemon Go called Ingress, which was the exact same systems, but not licensed to Pokemon. Like, you had to go to these towers and control them. And then Ingress became an anime, which I have not seen. I have a quote from Kojima about portable gaming and going outside to play that I thought would be pretty nice to share to tee us up, which is, it's a handheld game, so you can play it in your living room or go hide in your own room and play. I think the reason the Game Boy Advance has had such explosive popularity with kids, this is obviously an old quote, has had such explosive popularity with kids is just that they can escape the surveillance of their parents. That's how handheld gaming has grown to be such a big thing. But looking at the software that's been released up till now, it's almost all stationary. It's, quote, portable, but basically you just plop down somewhere and play. The games haven't really leaned into the portable aspect very much, and it's more like having a portable TV than anything else. So I thought to myself, I want to make a game that can only be played portably. I realized then that if the player could go outside by moving around, change his environment, the weather, the temperature, the terrain, and if those changes could be reflected in the game, it would be an experience unlike anything seen before.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is interesting because, for the longest time, and, you know, to a certain degree still, all gaming is done in a chair or on the couch, like, for the most part.
Sure.
For me, I'll go outside and play some games. I'll take my, I, well, I won't take my Switch to the beach. There's something about that that I'm like, this doesn't seem, I'm not going to take this with me. There's too many, I don't want to get sand in this. You know what I mean? But my phone's already there. And so when I got the backbone for my phone, I was playing Yakuza 0 on the beach. Wow. Like I was playing like console games on the beach. And that's really, really fun for me. My girlfriend wishes I would just enjoy the beach. but I've quite enjoyed that. Like as an experience, and I've taken, you know, other, like my Game Boy Advance to the beach, even like recently, like not, well, you know, not in the fall, certainly, but like in the summertime, yeah. I mean, this past summer, when I was going to the beach more. But yeah, that's something that I've done before. And I've even like, on like, you know, on road trips and stuff, obviously I was like a Game Boy kid. I think I've told a story on the show before where like my brother and I would like, start a new save each on Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire and like try to race each other to the Elite Four, like over the you know, vacation weekend that we were doing, just like speed run the game, see how fast we can get to the Elite Four. And, you know, even without like, this is with cheats, of course, but we would get there sometimes in under like 3 hours, like, and just like, and just go all the way. You could probably do it without cheats, but I was a dumb, you know, kid. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I like to post up under an umbrella, under a tree or something, and play some games. You know, you don't hear it as well, of course, but
yeah,
it's fun. I like doing games outside.
I you saying the road trip is making me think of specifically. So my wife and we haven't done it in a while, but she likes to hit the slopes. And I can't do that. I'd hurt myself horribly.
Yeah.
I have a bad back and bad knees, and I'm just very uncoordinated.
You like to hit these kind of slopes, huh?
Matt is tapping his nose.
He's touching his nose.
Yes, I like to blast rails. I'm a total Coke fiend.
You're all about that fresh pow.
You can tell from my frenetic energy. So I like going to the here's what I like doing. I'll go up to that sit up in that post up in that ski lodge.
Oh,
my wife's hitting the slopes, and I bring my DS or my 3DS, and I'd be sitting there and be playing video games. I'd be having the time of my life.
Yeah.
Maybe occasionally get like a Bloody Mary from the bar.
Oh,
and just sort of be sitting there sipping by the fire. It's cold outside, but I'm nice and toasty, and I'm gaining levels in this JRPG I'm playing or whatever.
I have a transcript from one of these trips, and it's Natalie saying, "You said you weren't going to bring this."
I do find one thing with actually playing outside, and I'm someone who I actually love going outside as much of an indoor kid as I maybe seem like. I go on long walks like basically every day. I love like getting outside and getting out of the house, and that's been. That tendency has been I find myself emphasizing it even more as I've been spending more time indoors because of the you know, all the quarantine aftermath. I'm spending more time in my home rather, and so. But my issue with gaming is oftentimes, and something that came up with this is just like glare from direct sunlight. It's just sometimes you just have to. It's tough to find the ideal spot where you've got enough shade to see your screen. And also a place where you can like sit comfortably for a while. And, you know, I always feel like that's something of a stumbling block. I feel like the places I've had the most success is if I've like had a hotel room that had a balcony or whatever.
That's,
you know,
really
what I mean?
Good.
Like in those rare circumstances, it's just sort of like, okay, I can get some fresh air and have a little bit of a view and then also play this video game instead of enjoying wherever I paid money to travel to.
Yeah. I recently got a big hat. So that's been helping me as well too. Big hat.
Great move.
Under the big hat.
Big hat.
You know, my whole body's shrouded in shadow under my big hat.
When the Switch came out, I brought the Switch to Franklin and Company, the bar over by UCB, or the now defunct bar.
Yeah.
And played Breath of the Wild for hours at the bar getting drunk. And that was, I was like, this is peak gaming for me.
Yes.
This is exactly what I want, is I look up and I can order another whiskey and then I go back to the game. And once in a while, somebody would come over and be like, hey, is that that new Nintendo? And I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd immediately go back to playing it. there is a... Nathan Barnett posted recently on Instagram. He was on an airplane with the PS1 with the screen, you know, the flip.
Oh, hell yeah.
The screen on his lap on an airplane with it plugged into the seat. So he was playing PS1 on a fucking airplane.
That's so crazy. I love it.
That was the system I always like. I was like, I really want one of these. I remember the time it came out. I was like, and I can't justify this because I think it came out after the PS2. And so I like, and the PS2 is backwards compatible, obviously. That I was just like, man, but I wish I'd bought one and then I would have gotten rid of it, unfortunately. But if I had one now, it could like pay for my kids' college tuition someday.
There's a, you guys were talking about glare. There's a thing that I saw, shopping, you know, my Amazon recommendations are like knife, axe, and then like, then there's like a sweatpant thing that you put the game console in and then you wrap it around the back of your head so it cuts off all light between you and the game itself.
Uh-huh.
So that like if you want to play privately or outside without glare, you can basically stick your head into the leg of a sweatpant.
Okay.
Great.
Does that track?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Nick's
I did
used
not.
To that. Nick's done that before.
Yeah. Perfect for Honey Pop on the go. You were saying earlier, Heather, about Pokemon Go, to return to that real quick. I had a thought recently of just like, man, I really wish we knew what mobile gaming would have looked like without in-app purchases, because that completely dominated the ecosystem there. And so many games just became this pay to win or pay to keep playing shovelware. That's just so like all these clones and derivative games and just like, you know, software toys that really just existed to get you to spend money to buy, you know, whatever in-game currency they have so you can keep playing and get new attributes or whatever. It's just such a bummer that what could have been a very cool, interesting gaming space. And there's still cool, innovative, interesting mobile games, but I feel like most of that got... those kind of got pushed aside in favor of, you know, essentially proto NFTs, all these virtual purchases you can make in these virtual worlds.
Was there a time? I don't remember a time before, and I'm not joking. I don't remember a time before in-app purchases.
Me neither. No, I think that was it. I think that's like a 1.0 feature of the app store. As in my memory, anyway.
Yeah, that is interesting to think about. I wonder, man, do you think I could sell my Simpsons Tapped Out login for a chunk of change?
Yeah.
I wonder.
You know, if I feel like if you could go back in time and you could convince Nintendo to make a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Before iPhone was released, like right in that sweet spot in between like the flip phones and the iPhone, like right when Android first came out, if you could convince Nintendo to make a phone, I think you could have changed the course of gaming on mobile devices.
Yeah.
Because like if you had had a Game Boy that you could make a call on, like that would have, instead of the DS or whatever, like, or 3DS, I think that would have. I mean, people would be talking about like buying the new game, not buying a game and then or playing the game for free and then buying a million coins or whatever.
Right. Yes.
If I can go back in time and convince Nintendo to do something, it would be to base Mario off of me, and then I would be Mario instead.
Would it be like Mario? Or would it just be, would you just know that Mario is based off of you?
I guess, yeah, you would just know. I think it's like, he would kind of look like me. He'd have sort of more of my attitude.
Got it.
And stuff. And, but it
likeness
would still be
would be lucrative.
Yeah, that's exactly. And so then you cut back to the present day, and now I'm sitting pretty. You know, yeah, I have to wear a red shirt and overalls all the time, but like, you know, hey, small price to pay.
Well, I don't know if you'd have to wear his outfit in your everyday life.
It's part of it.
Okay, that's part of it in your fantasy. They base Mario off of you, and then you're contractually obligated to dress like Mario the character.
Yeah, I'd say you drive a tough bargain, Nintendo, but you know, I'm fine with it. If you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. It's a me.
If I could go back in time and one up Matt's desire to be a mascot, I would make Donkey Kong into a hairless version of me. Just standing up on top of the rafters. It's like, oh man, have you seen this game at the arcade? There's like a little guy whose name is Maddie.
Yeah.
Mario.
Yeah.
And he's like climbing up a rafter to this human woman who's just like shuffling back and forth. She's completely naked.
And she looks like it hurts, but I don't know what.
So this week's game, Boktai, subtitle, The Sun Is In Your Hand. I did not know this going in. I knew about the gimmick, obviously, but I did not know it was a game about Draculas. This is like a spooky, scary monster game.
Yeah.
Well, let's set the stage. Mm-hmm. Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand. Like Pokemon is pocket monster. Boktai means Bokura, which means we, and Taiyo, which means sun. So it's our sun, the game. It's an action adventure role playing game set in three quarters perspective, released for the Game Boy Advance in 2003. Other games that were released in 2003 include Call of Duty, Beyond Good and Evil, Tony Hawk's Underground, Star Wars Knights of the Republic. 2003, kind of a thin year for major games.
The Underground series of Tony Hawk games is really something. They really opened it up quite a bit, and they're really, really fun. A story mode, like with an actual story. But otherwise, yeah, you're not 03, not a huge year.
I think I was working at Activision QA at the time that the Tony Hawk Underground series was, and there was like, there's like some tomfoolery in those, right? Like there's some Jackass inspired stuff that's going on. That's my memory of it.
In Underground 2, Bam, and I think Wee Man are in the game, and it has like a sort of, yeah, more of has a Jackass sensibility to it. It doesn't seem like it was Tony's influence. Sounded like maybe a fun thing at the time, but Tony's image is not really within that
yeah, he
area,
seems like a good boy.
I think. Yeah, he seems like wholesome, a little more wholesome than that.
In Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand, you take the role of Django, as in Django Reinhardt, or Django Unchained. Is that the name of that movie?
Yes.
All right. Django Reinhardt, famous jazz musician from the old days. And you use a weapon called the Gun del Sol, or Solar Gun, which fires bolts of sunlight at your enemies. In order to charge up your gun, you must physically take the cartridge into the sun and charge it under the direct UV light of the sun itself, or any UV flashlight that you may have procured off of Amazon so that you don't have to leave your house, which is what I
did. Think of that.
It's what I did. I got a UV blacklight flashlight and would just click it on when it was time to charge. I feel like hacking a game, that's totally okay. That's within the bounds. Getting creative with your game space is part of what keeps us alive.
Yeah, that's allowed. You didn't break any rules as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's like we use emulators on this podcast sometimes. It's fine. Most of the time.
You are fighting you're fighting against a head vampire and a queen vampire. And along the way, you load up on different kinds of guns. But the solar sensor is not the only gameplay gimmick of this game. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the clock that you reset When you play the game, if the battery's out, you have to reset the clock every time you play, or you can solder in a new battery into your Game Boy game. The clock also determines the strength of the enemies that you're fighting. So if you fight these enemies at night, they're stronger. And more than that, if you fight certain enemies during a full moon, you unlock different features of the game. So this, if you fight enemies between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., there's different features of the game. This is a game loaded with secrets. And on the surface, it just seems like a pretty simple sneak around a dungeon, fight a bad guy, and go on with your life.
I will say that I found that the in-world day-night cycle that's timed to your actual, the actual, you know, time zone you're in, squaring that with also getting like real sunlight from the sun based off of this, you know, photometric light sensor that's on the cartridge physically, I found those elements confusing, that they were trying. I like the ambition of trying to get both of them, but it just confused me as a player of like, wait, so I'm in the sun, but wait, I'm not in the sun of the game, but it's the daytime in the game, but I have to physically be in the sun in order for that. You know what I mean? Like it's just, for me, it was just informationally, it was like, I had a hard time squaring all that.
I'm confused by what you were confused by.
Here's the thing. So like, so you take the cartridge and you have to physically be outside in direct sunlight. And you know, it doesn't really work through even a window. Like you have to be out in the sun in order to charge this thing.
Yeah.
And that charges up your gun. But also that doesn't mean that you are in, like, whether or not you are in the daytime or whether you're in the sunlight in reality, that's just a gun charger. That's just for that function. That in itself does not affect the strength of the enemies. Mm-hmm. Like, shouldn't the sensor be tied to the to the in-world sunlight? And also sometimes in the world you can be indoors, you can be in indoor environments where the photometric sensor isn't going to work unless you find a window through which the sun can shine, which is the actual sun. And just for me, I'm just like, I was just confused.
I did not share your confusion. I felt like you set the clock. When you're heading into a dungeon, it says, hey, you got 4 hours before sunset, which is the real time sunset of the real world to the best of the game's ability to determine. And you know that if you don't get through this dungeon in the next 4 hours, you're going to have no sunlight available to you. You'll have to put the game on sleep and then come back when it's daytime. Now, additionally to that, wait, I lost my train of thought. Oh man.
See, it's confusing.
No, that's simple.
Heather agrees
that's
with
so
me.
So simple. I don't agree. I was also going to say that if you play in the sun for too long, you can overheat your gun using too much sunlight. And then you can also, the game is designed to force the player to bring the game back inside and cool off so you don't get covered in sunburns, as Nick did playing on Monday.
I was sitting on the balcony of a WeWork because I found like, okay, where's an outdoor space? I don't have any sort of balcony outdoor space in our apartment. It's like, where's an outdoor space I can post up? I found there's a WeWork not too far that has an outdoor balcony. So I was posted up there playing, and I got home after, you know, a few hours of Boktai with some breaks. And I was like, boy, why is my face hurt? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sunburned from just like sitting at an angle where I'm just getting direct sunlight. Now, most of the time, not even under an umbrella, just kind of like in the sun. And, it, you know, it was an overcast day. So it wasn't like it wasn't like super harsh. But, you know, that's when you can get sunburned. Yeah, I literally got sunburned from playing this game for this dumb podcast.
This is a game that fits perfectly into Hideo Kojima's legacy of trying to do weird shit with his video games, whether it be the game where you have to unplug your controller and plug it into the second player port so that the boss can't read, so that he can't read your mind, or all of the crazy shit that he says that he's wanted to do and that Konami has turned him down, whether it be a game that smells weird when you're playing it. Apparently, at one point, he wanted to make a game on CD that if you died, the game would break.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great. But I guess Konami had like a medical division that was making sensors of different kinds. And he went to them and were like, hey, can I can you guys make a solar sensor? And they were like, yeah, we could do that. Which is pretty neat.
That's like, cool. Like, I got it. I would love to know if that was like, he's like, I wanted, did he go to them first? Or did he like try to figure out another way for it to work? Like, where were they on the list of like, okay, well, oh, Konami just also does this. I'll figure that out. I wonder if he had the idea for the sun thing before knowing that. That's really interesting.
That's a good point. It's interesting either way. But like, I could see him drawing inspiration from knowing that this sensor that they had this you know, photometric technology. That they were working on in house. Regardless, I do like. I will say, despite my confusion, and that could just be me. Mm-hmm. Despite my confusion as a player, I really do admire how ambitious this is, and I love it, when a cartridge has some little bit of hardware. Because you know, there's some other Game Boy Advance games that tried this. You know, Yoshi Topsy Turvy and WarioWare Twisted had accelerometers in them. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, like how you were tilting it would affect how you what you were doing in the game. And then the Drill Dozer had rumble in it. But I think that was I think that this one was the most ambitious of these in terms of actually having the solar sensor integrated. Did you, Heather, I know you were playing on the, because we both bought carts off of eBay for an exorbitant amount of money. And I'm glad I did it, though, because it was like an interesting, it's interesting to play it on a GBA and to play it with this, the way it was supposed to be played. But did your cartridge have an issue with the light sensor? Because mine seemed, even when exposed directly to sunlight, it was like getting a very, very small amount of light that it was taking in.
I did not have that issue, but I also bought a copy of it that said light sensor tested, working completely.
Okay.
Yeah, they put a lot of words into making me believe that it would work okay, and it did. And then when I got frustrated by, I played this game on two different Game Boy Advances. I played it on my Game Boy Micro, which is a gorgeous little machine, but I was having a lot of trouble seeing the game itself when I would go outside. So I switched to a modded Game Boy Advance with an IPS V2 screen for my girlfriend Mary last Christmas. And I was like, okay, I'm having a lot of trouble playing this outside. I'll play it with this. This screen is so fucking bright. Like it is like shining a flashlight in your face when you play it in the dark. Brought that outside, same problem. Lots of glare, no matter how so I eventually got a blacklight flashlight so that I could just play at the table.
Yeah. The glare was my main issue. I was playing on an SP, and I have the SP iteration. It was the second gen one that's got the improved backlight, and the screen glare was just a pain in the ass. And I found like my best move was to just sort of like move walk over to the sun, get my gun charged up, and then walk over to a different spot and angle my body such that that the screen glare wasn't too punishing. But it's a pain in the ass,
Nick. This Boktai, buying Boktai on eBay for this podcast is the most money I've spent for this podcast. Does that also wow. hold true for you?
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think I've probably blown more money on some other bullshit. I think partly that is because, unlike you, I get rid of my old hardware and my old games when I have, you know, when I'm done with them. And so that's meant I've had to repurchase things. So I think you would count me getting another PS3 for this podcast as like probably a bigger expense. Cause I was just like, there's not a better, you know, unless PlayStation Now is unreliable and doesn't have everything. So yeah. I think I probably spent more money on that. But for an individual game though, this is a pretty pricey, cart.
And just for the heads up, we're talking about $100, $110. Yeah. If you want to get it complete in box with the manual, it's $220. I mean, it's a pricey little game, as are all games now, while our economy collapses in preparation for the water wars. So I'm going to trade I'm going to be like out on the street with God hand and I'll be like, hey, do you got water? I've got this game. It's worth, I don't know, like $200. And they'll be like, dollars don't mean anything anymore. And then they'll like hit me with a spiked bat.
I'll be trailing them on a leash.
And the person you're speaking to was me.
Big Matt. Yeah, of course. we should touch on real quick that although, you know, we're talking a lot about Kojima himself, and I think that the genesis, the idea of this came from Kojima, and he's the one who had the clout to get this, you know, this expensive custom cart built. He is credited as original story game design. I was looking up a screenshot of what his actual credit is in the game. But Ikuya Nakamura is credited as the director and writer of this game. So I think it probably was Kojima sort of oversaw it creatively, but Nakamura oversaw the day-to-day is my assumption of the workflow.
Yeah, I have a quote here from Kojima, which is, Boktai was an idea that I'd been fond of for many years. Ideally, I should have handled the game design, script, and direction myself. Just throwing shade like a fucking asshole. Yeah.
Shots fired.
However, at the time, I also had my Metal Gear Solid project, so I had no choice but to leave Boktai in the hands of my team of younger developers. I took one step back and participated in the project as a producer. In retrospect, I do realize it was a very challenging project to place in the other people's hands. You know what, though? They fucking pulled it off.
They did great.
They did great.
I will
great.
Say, yeah. I think it's a really cool game. I was texting the two of you that, you know, it's not a thing where I'm playing in 2021 for the first time and being like, holy shit, this is fucking incredible. It's more like I have a detached appreciation for what they were trying to do mm-hmm. and what they were able to pull off with that era's tech. Because I think this is a game that if I played for the first time when this released in 2003, I would look back on it like a game like, you know, like a Drill Dozer or like an Astro Boy. I'd be like holy, like, oh, yeah. Man, that game was awesome. That was so cool. That was trying something different and it was so fun. And playing it now, I'm sort of like, OK, this definitely feels like a game that came out 18 years ago. Some of this is a little clunky. And it is at heart a stealth game, which I honestly, you know, I didn't know it was about Dracula's and I didn't know it was a stealth game.
Yeah, it's a stealth game where you can use basically Metal Gear tactics on the monsters in a castle. You stick to the wall. You can knock the wall in order to draw their attention. You shuffle along the wall past monsters. And then sometimes you have to lure those monsters to different sections of the room what do you call it when you set off a trap? Is it just set off a trap?
I think so.
Activate? They yeah. activate a trap?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In order to activate a trap so that you can exit a room. It's also got a bunch of like crunchy details that are really charming and fun. Like a lot of these Kojima games we've been playing, there's a giant new vocabulary to learn, like the undeadening and the solar tree and dark. There's like a place where you have to go get loans. You can get loans of sunlight from dark loans, but there's also a solar bank where you can bank solar yes. power and then get interest on the solar power so that you can get more solar power back after you bank. Like, say you're going away for a weekend, you can put the game, put all your sunlight into the bank and then come back and have more sunlight. There's, like Pokemon, there is like a gardening feature where you can plant nuts and seeds in a forest area and by the solar tree and grow power-ups. I mean, there's a lot of like fun. You're totally right, Nick. If I'd played this in 2003, I would have been like, guys, and nobody would have answered. Guys, you gotta play Boktai. It's so good.
Yeah, no, yeah. it is like it's kind of like if Because I don't think there was a Metal Gear for the Super Nintendo, but you know the Game Boy there wasn't. Mm-hmm. The Game Boy Advance hardware is very similar to that. It's kind of like if they'd iterated on Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear Solid Snake and been like, hey, we're gonna do Super Metal Gear for the Super Nintendo, and so we're just kind of like gonna improve all these mechanics, and you kind of have this. You know, this really polished 2D stealth game. It is a little bit. I do think the movement is a little bit of an adaptation. I mean, I messed around with all the different. I think there's actually three different control schemes, and none of them I ended up going back to the default. But none of them I ever really felt perfect, especially with having to lean against the walls. So it's an isometric perspective. So you're moving in diagonals the whole time,
mm-hmm.
and you're using a D-pad. So you either have to, you know, be hitting up right and up left and so on the whole time. Or you can, there are alternate control schemes where you can map up to be up right and left to be up left. And so you're kind of just like mentally turning that axis a little quarter turn. But the issue is that makes leaning against the walls a little bit clunkier. So yeah, I don't know that was one little stumbling block for me that I felt like I was fighting most of the way.
Yeah, yes, I completely agree that working on those angles sucked. And also like firing your gun, that sucked.
Yes,
I almost exclusively used spread and spin around weapons.
Yeah.
So that I could just like make sure to hit no matter what direction I was facing. A little tricky. The other mechanic in this game that I fucking hated, in addition to the puzzles, which are constant,
mm-hmm.
just
yes.
constant fucking puzzles, is that when you get to the center of a dungeon, you have to take the Dracula. The Dracula who's inside,
yes.
or any of the mini bosses in a
the
coffin.
Immortal, right?
Yeah, the immortal.
Yeah,
you have to drag that asshole all the way back through the castle outside so that you can purify him. And that is, if you let go of the coffin for too long in order to fight an enemy, the coffin starts trying to get away.
It's really funny.
I kind of like that.
Like hook it up again to a chain, drag it slowly, Knuckles chaotic style with a little bit of like a little give. It's so frustrating. Get him outside. Then make sure you're out in the sunlight so that you can be fighting something that you can barely see. It was really, I love this game, but that sucked. All the stuff I just said sucked.
There are definitely parts that are, yeah, a little clunky and a little bit of a chore. I didn't have as much of an issue with that, but also like I wasn't like, oh, I love this, you know. I wasn't like, this is awesome. I do kind of feel like though it's satisfying to you know, once you get those guys in the coffins and dispatch them, I think that is pretty satisfying once you get them back to the purification ring, which is called the Pile Driver.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Ridiculous. Just like, yes. Like an absolute placeholder ass name for for something. So I didn't play this on the original hardware. I played this emulated and... Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it's an adjustment to try to figure out, like, even just the control. I was playing on my keyboard. I wish I was playing. I should have hooked up a controller to it. But I was playing on my keyboard, having to then remember what buttons did what. But then I was also having a hard time because it didn't automatically, like, determine a button for select. So I was like, how do I change my fucking weapon? I need the spread weapon. I know I picked it up. And then I just went in and mapped one myself. And I was like, okay, here we go. And then I was off to the races. But yeah, good.
Yeah.
Dragging the people. I had to change the what do you call it? Control scheme in the game to, I think, the second one, which was like pressing up is up right or whatever. And like, so that was easy. That felt easier for how I was playing it. And honestly, some of those moments where you're, you know, you have to clear the, you know, purify the immortals. And, you know, it's probably because I had as much sunlight as I wanted to, because it was patched to, I could just charge whenever I want. though I would fucking just waste those guys. Like, it was like nothing to me.
Right.
Which doesn't change how I feel about the game at all, because I don't like being challenged when I'm playing a game. If a game feels easy to me, I'm like, this rocks. I'm good at this game. So I was having a great time playing this, even though it was, you know, like modified in a way to make it easier for me. I was like, oh man, sure. I'm blasting these immortals. Welcome back to hell, bitch. You're gone. You're gone. You're done.
I can't, my first time playing this, cause I knew the gimmick, but I also didn't know how like stringent it was and how much of a huge element of gameplay it was right away. Is that I played through the first dungeon and I got to I beat the first immortal and I dragged his coffin back and I was like, okay, time to I guess pile drive this freak. And I just didn't have any sunlight. And there was no way to progress. And it was a thing of like, oh, this is such a cool thing for a kid,
mm-hmm.
but for an adult with a schedule, like, I think this would be, I can't imagine how frustrating it would be to be like, you finish your shift and you get home and you're playing this game, this new game you bought that you read good reviews of. And then you're like, you know, barely a half hour in and you have to wait until the sun comes out in order to progress.
Yeah, yeah,
you're like, fuck, this sucks.
Late for work because you're charging your sun gun. The gun del sol, excuse me. I did read in this interview that Heather sent in our group chat
Can I get in on that group chat, by the way?
Oh, it's actually, it's weirdly, it's full.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd ask.
They said
no worries.
Yeah, they said it was full. We tried to add, and then like my phone like got hot, and they're like, it's full, and I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No worries.
But it's full. But in this interview that Kojima did about the game, the interviewer asked him who the target audience was. And he did straight up say kids. Like, this game is for children. He's like, adults might think it's fun. And then he praised the story. He's like, the story is really, you know, the story is really deep. The story's got a lot going for it. But he's like, he didn't necessarily speak to it's ideally for kids because they got nothing else fucking better to do. They don't have jobs or nothing. But that is probably subconsciously at least part of it, right? Because you are sort of like, if I did have the actual hardware, when would I be playing that? I couldn't go outside. I mean, right now, I guess it's sort of like I could work anywhere. But in a regular world, what am I supposed to do? Play this game? When?
You got to get that $6 UV flashlight off Amazon. You just point it at your Game Boy and then you can go.
I got to get one of these. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not going to get
also,
it now.
Also, but it'll show you where all the cum is.
Okay, that's okay. I need to know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go?
It's somewhere.
Where did I put it?
You guys know this game's in the Guinness Book of World Records?
For what?
For the first ever game with a solar sensor on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it one of one? How many games could it be? Games on a calculator also?
They did three in the series. They had one, two, and then three was Japan only. But what is the record, though?
What?
Because that seems to me like what isn't it? Don't records usually be like most or least or fastest?
First,
like
first man on the
first
moon
is a record,
isn't it?
If you
Nick's not impressed.
I think you're the fastest to the moon, or you spent the most time on the moon. That's a record.
Or but been to the moon the like, most.
Yeah, but first on the moon is just like a fact of record. It's just like a piece of data.
Well, there you go. It's a record.
So you're telling me if you, Nick, were to go to the White House, cut off your dick and hand it to the president, you wouldn't want that in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Which president?
JFK.
Okay.
Wouldn't be the worst thing that's happened to him.
guys want to talk about the music in this game? Because I really liked it.
Please, me too.
I sent a music sample to you, Matt. Once in a while, when you reconnect with these old systems and you hear their little sound chips, you're just so delighted. And there's a compression on Game Boy Advance sounds that feel warm. You know, it feels like something that people are trying to emulate in 2021 in the backgrounds of other modern songs. But why don't you play a track from Boktai Taiyo? This is when you're trying to get the pile driver to purify a bad guy. And like once in a while the Dracula will come up out of his coffin and he'll go hot, because there's also a lot of voice acting in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good amount of digitized speech.
Like every time your little sidekick character, who's called Otenko. Whenever you select him for help, he goes, Otenko.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
I love him.
That was gonna be my thing I liked. I love hearing Otenko. No, this works out. I got to back up.
Did I send you more than one sound cue, or is that it?
You sent me that one, but it's a playlist. I could just pick another one, too.
I mean, if you want. Otenko!
This is the title screen music.
Oh.
Super, super good.
So good.
Wasted on the youth.
We talked about this is a stealth game, and just to touch on that a little bit more, I will say I think they did some cool things with animal enemy beyond just like the mechanics of just like what your character can do. I think like the enemy behaviors are like cool, and they have some interesting variants there, just with certain enemies being like there's mummies who are, you know, for instance, mummies who are blind, but they're very sensitive to sound. So you can like you can walk right by one, but you have to be like, you know, crouched against the wall in order to sneak by. Like I just thought it was cool also, like, because it's just like basically a series of stealth puzzle rooms. It's like the Metal Gear Solid VR missions, essentially. But like just like figuring out how to tackle each one is, I think, you know, it's satisfying. It's good. It's well constructed.
You saying that just made me think it would be the thing that would get me to buy VR is if I could do the Metal Gear missions in actual VR and do it.
Wow.
I would do it. Right. I would do it in a second.
That's an interesting thought, because yes, the VR missions in Metal Gear Solid are like VR within that world.
Yeah.
It's not like actual RVR VR.
No.
That would be cool.
But is that something we want? Do we want to let Kojima do VR for real? I don't know if we should let him.
He's going to be the person who makes it so that if you die in the game, you die in real life.
He's like, and also I fixed it, so now VR porn is good. I like made it.
You know what would be I just want to pitch like VR, like Kojima VR ideas. I can imagine him putting, like, you have a heart rate monitor on your finger, like the never released Wii heart rate monitor, right? And you have to go to sleep with the fucking helmet on.
Oh, my
God.
Only when
your heart rate demonstrates that you're asleep does a monster come to get you.
Oh,
man.
I almost clicked end the Zoom. Like, I don't want to be near this idea anymore.
You know, it wouldn't be a Kojima game without references to other Kojima games.
Yes.
Or without other games referencing this game. Now, you can change your player character name at the beginning. And if you choose Snake, Otenko will say Snake, et cetera, et cetera. But the Gundel Soul does show up in Metal Gear Solid 4, where it is a weapon that Snake, that's Old Snake, right? That's mm-hmm. that one? Where Old Snake can use the Gundel Soul in the game. And here's what that sounds like.
Sunlight! 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 Sunlight!
He fucking loves it.
He holds it up and charges it, and it uses the same sound effects as the Game Boy Advance game, and that is fucking great.
Yeah, that's
because also Taiyo. That I think that's sunlight in Japanese. Mm.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Those recording sessions must be so fun. Like, you just have no idea what's going on. You must not know. I'll just read this.
Yeah, I'm sunlight. So I'm just want me to yell sunlight?
Yeah, but it's like your favorite thing on Earth. Okay. Yeah.
All right, sure, yeah. Yeah. Any context for what's going on? Yeah, you're holding up a sun-powered gun.
Yeah.
That doesn't help me any. What the fuck are you talking about?
Say it like you haven't seen sunlight in 1,000 years, and it's your best friend.
Oh, man.
Let's get to our final thoughts on Bakdai, the Sun is in Your Hand. It's time for our review crew.
Review crew!
So we'll say something positive about this game and give it a numerical decimal rating. I was going to talk about Otenko, but I'll also talk about something else.
Otenko!
thank you, Heather. That made me laugh in this game. Which is that, you know, you get a bunch of different options. We didn't really talk about the gun upgrades. The gun upgrades are cool.
Mm-hmm. Or the story.
Or the story, really. Yeah. But also, like, what I will say that whatever Kojima thought about the story, I didn't care that much. I didn't find myself too invested.
Oh.
Did you like the story?
Yeah. I mean, I was like, this is great.
I didn't get super into it.
Your dad is dead and you've got his blood on your scarf. Mm-hmm. And then you go fight these bad vampires, and the vampire, it turns out that you've got a brother that you didn't know you had a brother, and you kill him, and then you fight your aunt, I believe, is the ultimate enemy, is hell, yeah. This evil witch who's your aunt, and she mocks you for having killed your brother, but then your brother comes back to life, and he helps you at the end. I love it.
Kind of an awkward family reunion, if you ask me.
The thing I liked about this game that made me laugh is that you get a bunch of different items, and there's an item you get that helps you. That is, Heather mentioned that there's a bunch of puzzles in this game. A lot of them are just like kind of block pushing, you know, cliche environmental puzzles, but they're fine. But, you know, there's an item you get that if you are put yourself in an unwinnable situation, one of these puzzles, you can reset it. And it's called the Fool Card.
Yeah.
And I got the Fool Card, and they were like it is like, hey, it's just, you know, this is a last resort. Like, don't use this unless you're like absolutely stuck. And I was like, all right, fine. And I had to use it on the first puzzle room. Anyway, I liked Fool Card. I think this game is really cool and really creative, and you know, I feel like I'd say like 8.5. I feel like if I played this on Game Boy Advance again, to reiterate, to repeat myself, if I played this on Game Boy Advance in 2003, I think I would probably be like, this game's fucking awesome. This mm-hmm. is like one of the best Game Boy Advance games. And playing it now, I can still appreciate it enough to be like, I think this is I'll say 8.5. Heather, what do you say?
I hate puzzles. And if it wasn't for all of the work that this game does to throw all of this charm at you, in every context possible, from the actual gameplay itself to bringing it out into the sun to the real-time clock to the Otenko every time you talk to your friend. Mm-hmm. If it was just a fucking raw puzzle game in isometric view, I'd give this game a 0. Sure. I fucking hate puzzles. But it has a lot going for it. Good soundtrack, good. It's gorgeous. Also, it's beautiful. Like, yes. The color palette's beautiful.
Greatest.
And it also has one of my favorite quotes in all of video gaming, which is when you are fighting against your brother. I think I wrote down the quote, and I think it came from your brother. He says, "Moonlight holds two conflicting powers, lunacy and mercy." And I was like, "That's nonsense."
That rocks.
Of all, yeah. Like, what a great quote! What an it's excellent cool. video game quote. That you know, made it worth the fact that I was out of town this weekend and had to bring a Game Boy Advance into a crowded public area trying to get sunlight as an adult. Just and like kind of like squatting over the game so yeah. I could like block enough of it to see.
Yes.
Because you need the sunlight in action sequences. So it's humiliating.
Yeah.
But if I had been a kid playing this, I would have been like, oh my God, this is the best. Certainly liked it better than Police Knots. Mm-hmm. Let's give it an 8.
Wow.
Good score. All right, Matt.
I played this on my computer, so I didn't have the full experience of it. But I will say, it's not like you're on like invincibility mode either. You know, you do have to stop down and still charge your gun. It's not like it's fully charged the whole time. You have to like stop playing, and you can still overheat too. So I feel like I got like, you know, a pretty approximate experience. I quite enjoyed it. I will say I took only one screenshot in the entire game, and it was in the very beginning of the game. After you do like the very first. You get the very first immortal, and like the game like actually kind of starts after that. And Otenko is telling you all the things that you can do, like, hey, like, you know, your thing can overheat, so be careful with that. You, like, give it a break. Just telling the player, like, hey, you don't have to play this game all day. You can go do something else too. But this quote that Otenko says really like made me laugh out loud. "Do not be reckless. There is no one to replace you." So like, he's like, you could don't be an idiot. Like, don't get like heat stroke and die in this game.
Right.
In real life. You need to do this game. You need to, you know, save the day in this. So I thought that was really funny.
Wait, who says that?
Otenko says that.
Otenko!
Yeah. he rocks. He's such a good character, good helpful friend. I'll give this an 8 as well. Super wow. Fun. Yeah, super fun game. Very interesting, very unique experience. What a cool thing we got to play for the show.
I'm glad we covered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me
good
too.
Good call, Heather.
Yeah, very Thank good call, you. Heather.
Thank you.
Oh, Django.
Hey, those were our thoughts on Boktai, but maybe we're wrong.
Maybe we were wrong. We've got reviews that we've culled from the internet, and if we had a positive take on this game, they will be negative reviews, and if we had a negative take, they'll be positive reviews. It's the segment that changes every week. Maybe we were wrong. I've got a review from the Amazon store from 2005. Samidari-chan writes, meh, I say. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest here. I hated this game when I first played it. I had so much trouble with the solar power thingy. I lost my gun power repetitive times. I have played this game maybe 3 times, and none of those times did I have fun. Once again, meh. Without having to hold this stupid game up to the sun every waking moment, I would have much more fun with this game. This weekend, I'm selling this game at a local game store. I'll forget I ever bought it. Please excuse my drama I may have cooked up. I'm a very dramatic person, and I'm proud enough to let it show. That's how the review ends.
Wow.
Do you think, knowing that this game is now $100 to $200 in
yes.
value, this person... is like, oh, the game wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Maybe I could have kept this in a drawer instead of exchanging this for 70 cents of GameStop store credit.
Yeah. And, you know, how could you really forget about something if you've committed to a digital record of you disliking it? Like, right. You know, it's on record.
Yes.
But, you know, they did acknowledge there was some introspection there. They did know about themselves that they're prone to dramatics. So, you know, that's good.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm.
I saw someone on the JRPG subreddit just made a post that was just like, hey, I was just like an apology for like being like rude to everyone in like some thread. And I was like, this is so, that's like, God, I love seeing that. That's great.
Yeah, that's like the most JRPG thing you could do. Like a side character who you haven't thought about in a while just being like, yes. Hey, I'm sorry.
I got a review from Computer and Video Games. So this is like a critic's review. This was on Metacritic. And I've got an excerpt from this review, which was 70 out of 100. Kind of lukewarm. How ironic. Without the solar sensor, Boktai would be much more enjoyable. But then again, without the solar sensor, Boktai wouldn't even exist in the first place.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Like a Zen Cohen.
That's like somebody yeah. really hates their own dad. <It's> like, how ironic. You are both my father and I hate you. But if I didn't have a father, I would not have me to be able to hate. You want one more?
Yeah.
Lay it on us.
This is from Metacritic. It is a... publication called NetJack. Here's the review. 54 out of 100. The puzzles are easy. The game gives you more health power-ups than you'll ever use. And there isn't a single enemy that's remotely challenging after you pick up the second gun frame in the prologue. All the, quote, innovation that this game was supposed to entail amounts to nothing but a big pile of company, dinner-fed, marketing-grade manure. Fucking shit. This person hated this game.
You do get a large quantity of health items, but I will say, in particular, the first item you get, the green apple, is the most useless health item I've ever like gotten in a yeah. game. It restores like 1/30th of your health bar. It's like it's such a trivial amount of health that you get back from it. That was maybe you were wrong. How about a segment?
Ooh.
A segment? All right.
That's right. I got a segment. It's another edition of our recurring video game quiz segment, You Don't Know Jack Off.
Otenko!
And hey, this week's category for You Don't Know Jack Off is Son or Son. I'll read the title of a video game with son in the title. You tell me if it's spelled S-O-N, as in a male child, or S-U-N, as in soul, giver of life, the center of our solar system. So son or son, in honor of Boktai.
Okay,
how do we ring in? Do we ring in by saying Tayo, or do we ring in by saying Otenko?
It's got to be.
I think your choice.
All right, great.
I'll accept either. Whoever gets in first. Okay. All right. First up, this is these first couple are gimmies. Pokemon Sun.
Tayo.
Otenko. Oh,
I heard Heather first.
Okay, that's fair.
That's S-U-N.
Correct.
For Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Correct. This was a 3DS Pokemon. Next up, Golden
Tayo.
Sun. Was that you buzzing in?
Oh.
Yeah. Tayo!
Mm-hmm.
Heather. Tayo! That's also S-U-N. Golden Sun
correct.
For the Game Boy Advance.
You are correct.
Tayo!
The RPG series. Next up, Infamous Second Son.
Oh, Otenko.
Matt.
That's S-O-N.
That's right. This is the 2014 Sucker Punch superhero game.
That's right.
It's hot.
How about Mega Man Battle Network 4 Red Sun?
Oh.
Tayo!
Heather.
S-O-N.
No, this is S-U-N.
Wow.
Wow, I thought it was going to be referring to, what's his name? The sidekick guy who's in red in Mega Man games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
X.
So now does that mean I'm down 1 point?
No, and no, you don't need to lose points.
Oh, so I can just ring in no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think it's probably...
What kind of game is this?
This is fine. You buzz in, you get the answer right or wrong, and you get the point.
This is as rigged as the election.
All right, fine. You lose a point. Are you happy?
Yeah. All right. It's okay, 1-1. Here we go.
You're tied at 1 apiece.
Oh, God.
Next up, Rise, Son of Rome.
Odenko.
Matt.
It's got to be S-O-N.
You are correct. This was a 2013 hack and slash from Crytek. Bonus point. How is Rise spelled?
Oh.
Anyone can buzz in.
Tayo!
Heather.
R-Y-S-E.
You are correct. Wow. Knocked up at 2 apiece.
Wow.
Next one. Dark Sun Shattered Lands.
Odenko.
Matt.
S-U-N.
This is correct. It is S-U-N. This was a 1993 PC RPG developed by SSI that actually played this on MS-DOS.
Wow.
Pretty decent AD&D computer RPG.
What would you give it as score?
Boy, I'd have to at the time it felt like an 8.
Okay.
Felt like a pretty solid game. All right, a few more. Sun.
Okay, wait a second.
Sun.
Otenko.
Matt.
Is this worth 2 points?
I don't know. What do you want, Heather?
Because I'm seeing. Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think you have to guess both correctly.
Yeah. Otherwise, you lose 2 points.
Wait a minute.
Which is why I didn't ring in.
No. Okay.
All right. Fine. I'll allow it.
Okay. I'm gonna say it's S-U-N-S-O-N.
No, Matt, I'm sorry. You lose 2 points. It's now 2-1.
It is
S-O-N-S-O-N.
Wow.
Sun. This was a 1985 Capcom arcade game, semi-obscure, but you may know the character from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Damn it. Yeah, I wouldn't have even guessed it was the same one twice.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
That's all right. You know what? I accept my loss of 2 points.
Where are we in the score? What's that? Who's winning?
I concede.
Now?
Heather's up 2. Matt has 1, and we have 2 questions left.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Next one. Naked Sun VR. Naked Sun VR.
This is tough because I don't know if it's a trick question. Mm-hmm. Like if we're being led a certain way.
Dio!
Heather.
S-O-N.
Thankfully, you lose a point.
Oh, wow.
It is S-U-N. This was a 2018 VR shooter game.
What?
So it's knotted up at 1 apiece, and this last one will decide it. By the way, the character we were thinking of, I called him X, but it's not X. It was Zero. That's the red Mega Man friend.
Yeah.
I had to take in the qualities of the host of the show.
That's
on
sort of
not,
what I thought
was
being
tricked. That was a factor also.
What am I going to be looking for in the Steam store? All right. Final one. Plan your son's funeral.
Oh, Otenko.
Matt.
That's got to be S-O-N.
That is S-O-N. You are correct. Matt, you win.
Wow.
Son. That was actually a Plan Your Son's Funeral is actually a clickhole browser game that came out in 2015.
Really funny.
Yeah. I mean, I played through it. It's very funny. Hey, that was Son or Son. It's time for the question block.
Ba-ding!
All right. This one, we got this email and I thought it was interesting. It's from a listener named Conrad, and the subject was deployment games. And they wrote, "Hey guys, writing from the Middle East where I'm currently deployed for 6 months, I brought my Switch and I've rigged it to the bottom of my bunk with bungee cords and I can use a normal controller. I've currently got Stardew Valley and Diablo 2 at the ready. My questions are, is Diablo 2 playable in Switch portable mode?" I'll answer that right now, yes. Not in the dock attached to the screen. "And what other Switch games would you recommend me play with my playing area in mind?" Picture a switch hanging down by your head while you lay down with the controller. I can't stay online while I play, and I can only download stuff when I go to hubs that have internet.
I'm trying to think of this this setup. So you're lying on your back, basically, looking up at a screen, and you're holding a controller in your hand.
Yeah, or it's dangling down.
It's dangling down.
Right, and you can sit up in your bunk, maybe.
Okay, so you have the option to sit up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Look, I don't want to second guess this person, but it feels like you could just play the Switch in handheld mode.
Yeah.
Like that's maybe an option, but I'm sure there's some sort of reason why this is the best setup. I guess are we just looking for general Switch recommendations that are played that you can play offline?
Yeah.
That's the essence of this question.
Absolutely.
Well, does Diablo 2 Switch, it doesn't require an internet connection? Can you just play that offline in single player? I guess you must be able to.
You can play it offline in single player, but you can't transfer your character from online to offline. So you'll have two different things. So like you could,
and you don't have that big stash that you don't have that shared stash.
Exactly.
You just have like the one character stash. I mean, it's still a fun game to play in single player. The loot gets a little less bananas, but that's still a lot of fun. You can still sink some hours in that. Yeah. Stardew Valley, you got a good one. Breath of the Wild? You got Breath of the Wild? It just sinks so many hours in Breath of the Wild. That's a game I feel like I would never get tired of if that was my only game. You could just keep playing that forever.
I know this hampers the game because it's lack of, it'd be offline play, but Dark Souls is on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to if I wanted my game time to be deep, but not necessarily like light, mm-hmm. you know, that might be the recommendation that I would give. Dark Souls.
Matt, what are we thinking? We didn't think of Hades. Hades is perfect.
What are we even thinking? Yeah. And that's like a budget option too. Like that's like, it costs like $20. Like, and you can have a game that you can play for like hundreds of hours. Like it's so good. Get Hades.
And I will also say, if you like Diablo 2, you should like Hades, especially it's especially with the direct control. It's like a very similar sort of game, just with the gameplay is inarguably a little bit deeper in Hades.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost just go down the list of like, because there's so many good single player games on Switch. Just thinking Heather's absolutely right about Dark Souls. That also makes me think that there's, you know, I'm pretty sure Skyrim is on Switch. It's gotta be, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's another one you can just sink a bunch of time into. But yeah, Breath of the Wild, like Hades. And then if you like a game that gets a little bit, if you're open to games that aren't like action-y, Slay the Spire is one I put a lot of hours into if you like deck building games at all, and it's a roguelike, so you can just, you know, play that endlessly. It sounds like that's what the target is, right? It's just like big, meaty, long games that you play on your own.
Yeah. Oh, those are some great options.
Are we overlooking anything?
Breath of the Wild is like, I'll still, like, even though I quote unquote like beat the game, mm-hmm. I still go in there occasionally and find new stuff to do. Like, so it's like a game that you could just play forever. There's Assassin's Creed games on Switch that are pretty, you know, like Assassin's Creed Black Flag is on there and it plays pretty well too. I'd throw in a recommendation for that. It's a good Assassin's Creed game.
Mario Odyssey?
Mario Odyssey. And also, if you like Diablo 2, you know, hey, Diablo 3. If you get sick of Diablo 2 Resurrected, play some Diablo 3 if you haven't already. Although, wait, can you play that? That one you might not be able to play.
I think you have to be online to play Diablo 3.
All right, for nix that one unless you do some more research.
Yeah. But I think we got a bunch of options for our listener Conrad. I think we got.
I'm just thinking of Switch games now. It's just like there's just like a lot of good Switch games. A lot of good. It's a big library.
Yeah, you know Heather. Yeah, Heather said Mario Odyssey, but I might throw in Super Mario 3D World. I love Super Mario 3D World. Mm-hmm. I just started up Bowser's Fury. I hadn't started it.
I got to play that. I never played it.
It's pretty fun so far.
I'm sure I'd love it.
But yeah, I guess anything with Mario, because you could just do that. That game's not necessarily about going all the way through it. It's about going through it again and doing it better this time, too.
Yeah, and I would say, like, if you're playing, you know, not that Diablo 2 is a roguelike, but it is a game that you just play the same game over and over again. You know, you're playing through the same, it's procedurally generated, but a lot of roguelikes are procedurally generated. So, you know, things like your Slay the Spires or your Hades or, you know, even like a Dead Cells, like, you know, I would just kind of look at roguelikes in general. Into the Breach, if you like turn-based games. I think roguelikes is probably a genre that where it's just like, I could play this in that setup and I could play this pretty endlessly. I'm just thinking about what a good system the Switch is now.
It's great. It's so good.
It's a good system. Yeah.
It's excellent.
Well, hey, good luck over there, Conrad. Stay safe, happy gaming, and hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at GetPlayedPod, or send us an email at GetPlayedPod@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 6162PLAY. That is 616-275-2933. Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And Matt, what's next week's game on Kojember?
Next week's game, one of my favorite games of all time, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Bucket.
Snake! You can tell from my frenetic energy.